From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of December 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And K-State's Dan O'Brien will join us closer to the bottom of the hour to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, some analysis of the health care bill and what it might mean to agriculture. And we'll take up the word navigable. It all comes up a bit later in the program. And as we close out the program today, we'll talk with Don Day, agricultural meteorologist, about the agricultural weather forecast right here on a Tuesday afternoon. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat was 3.5 cents higher for the day, a $5.23 settlement price. The May at 5.36 1/4, up 3 1/4, and the harvest month July up 3.5 cents at 5.47 3/4. Kansas City wheat finished a penny higher at 5.17 1/4. From the corn pit, March contract 3.98 3/4, a settlement price a penny and a quarter lower. The May at 4.09 1/4, down 1 1/2, and July down a penny at 4.18 3/4. December futures down 0.75 cents at 4.31 1/4. March of next year at 4.41 1/2, that's 2011, that is, down 0.75 cents. March oats a 0.5 cent higher at 2.59. Soy complex now, January beans for the day, $9.91, down a dime. March at 9.98 1/2, down 10 cents as well. May futures 10 1/4 lower at $10.04 1/4. And July contract at 10.08 1/4, down 10 1/2 cents. August soybeans 10.05, 10 1/2 lower. November, the new crop at $9.74, the settlement price for Novi beans down 7 1/2 cents. January bean meal at 2.98.50, down 2.30. January soybean oil 23 cents lower at 38.05 on the afternoon. Mercantile exchange numbers settled the nearby December live cattle at 81.95. They were down 27 1/2 cents. February there at 84.67 1/2, 90 lower. January feeders 12 1/2 cents lower at 94.42 1/2, and February lean hogs at $74.75, up 52 1/2 cents on the afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. February crude oil futures, a $74.40 settlement price on a barrel of oil. That's 68 cents higher on the afternoon. January futures in the ethanol at $1.84 6/10, down 0.5 cents. Natural gas at 5.72, 5 cents and a tenth lower, and the RBOB gasoline at $1.88 7 1/2, that's down 1 8/10. Heating oil futures or diesel fuel at $1.94 6/10, that's just about unchanged on the day, and the gold at 1,086 finished $9.40 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,461, 47 points higher at this hour. The U.S. dollar at 78.24 is up 0.21 on the afternoon, and the CRB index at 274.89 is up 0.11 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. A winter storm watch for northwestern Illinois is in effect from Wednesday morning through Friday afternoon, and for the remainder of northern Illinois and far northwestern Indiana from Wednesday morning through Thursday afternoon. The forecast is calling for cloudy skies in the north with snow. Some light snow and light freezing rain are possible in central sections of Illinois and Indiana. Cloudy with areas of light freezing rain and rain showers. And in the south, cloudy, a chance of showers. Lows will range from 26 in the north this evening to 44 in the south. Tomorrow in the north, cloudy, snow and freezing rain in central sections. In the south, cloudy, windy, rain moving in. Highs will range from 29 in the far northern part of the two-state region to 53 in the far south. The extended forecast says on Wednesday, a considerable set of icing will be possible in the north, with a wintry mix changing to rain in central sections and rain with possibly a few thunderstorms in the south. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Happy holidays to you, Wayne.
Hi, Merry Christmas, Todd. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners, and hope that they're having a good holiday season.
Well, I suspect that if they have finished corn picking, that they will count that as a very good holiday season indeed, although there are a few combines still out there running and more corn yet to pick in parts of the globe, aren't there?
I just got off the phone with an individual in LaSalle County, Illinois, up there, and he said they probably wouldn't be able to get back in the field for 4 or 5 days just because of the amount of snow that they've had, and they've still got a couple hundred acres left on their farm yet to combine, and they'd love to get back out there, but isn't going to happen right away, Todd.
Yeah, it's an odd year for 2009, and it looks like 2010 will start out just as odd because we'll still be in the field from the old crop. Tell me about what you saw in the marketplace today.
Well, I think today a lot was told of number one, holiday-type trade.
Right.
Number two, the options, which generally don't hold quite as much thrill this time of year, but the January options going off here on Christmas Eve. Basically, we've got a lot of short positions or their short puts, and we saw a lot of pressure coming in from some of the people out there covering their short put option premiums that out there being just a little bit scared to they don't want things to get out of hand going into the Thursday in the light trade. So a lot of the open interest in the strike price is largest at the 960 January put, Todd.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. Hasn't happened in a long time, or if ever, if I remember talking about it. So that just does that tell you that there are a lot of folks that have been using options more than
usual? Well, I think, as we saw, we've seen a tremendous volatility this year, and the options have shown it and reflected it. And we've used options, and there's been a little more selling of options because they've been worth selling because of the high volatility, and what was expected to be highly out of the money at this point in time is getting a lot closer the way that things are going on. So we are seeing some going that way. So, as we look the last week, we're somewhat surprised. Look, we dropped so much in the beans this last week, 80-some cents and, 24 cents in the corn. It's just a little bit surprising we're falling out of bed here, but that bull needs to be fed every day, Todd. And, we pretty much know that China's bought the dickens out of beans.
Do you think they're done, or is there more yet to come?
I think China's going to buy some more beans, but the one thing we have to remember is the U.S. is sold about all the beans they can load for the next 30 days. We might see them stand back and wait a little bit and see how things shake out by the time they need to have some more order.
Is it time to stand aside of the market as we go through the holiday season? Are you ready to get in?
I think that basically we're in pretty good shape. We've been pretty aggressive about selling some new crop stuff. We've sold some, out-of-the-money options. We've tried the last 2 days to try to sell some more option premium above the market in the beans and haven't been successful. The market's thin enough that we haven't got our orders filled on those. But so we're going to be very cautious going into the holidays because of the thin trade. But I think we have to be a little more cautious just at looking at how far this market can dip possibly in this thin trade, and possibly for some end feed users or something, while we might want to be looking at some areas that we might possibly be looking at buying a few calls to lock in some feed costs.
Well, I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Very good, Todd. And, like I say, we'd just like to once again wish all the listeners the best of holiday wishes.
Thank you so much, Wayne, and happy holidays to you as well. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what he had to say again, you can do it by dialing a phone number. The number is 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. We update it with the opening and the closing numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Again, that's 217-333-3434.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
These agricultural news will begin with health care and some analysis provided by AgriPulse.com. That's agri-pulse.com. It's a website dedicated to following all things agriculture and policy as it's related to Washington, D.C. An analysis provided by AgriPulse provides some insight into what the health care reform bill contains. The CBO says the legislation would establish a mandate for most legal residents to obtain health insurance, set up insurance exchanges through which certain individuals and families could receive federal subsidies to help pay for health insurance, expand eligibility and reduce payment rates for most Medicaid services, and impose an excise tax on insurance plans with a relatively high premium. According to AgriPulse, the bill would also place an immediate ban on pre-existing condition exclusions for children, protect choice of doctors and access to emergency care, guarantee opportunity to appeal coverage denials, and provides a multi-state option for free choice vouchers. AgriPulse also reports the health care reform bill makes health care more affordable, increases access to quality care for seniors, children, and vulnerable populations, and identifies alternatives to litigation. You can read more at agripulse.com. That's agri-pulse.com. On the subject of the web and the internet, let's stay in Washington, D.C., but switch to broadband funding. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack passed out $985,000 in American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funding yesterday. That's to support a broadband infrastructure project in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. This project is among the first wave, says Secretary Vilsack, of Broadband Recovery Act projects to be funded.
Even with all of the resource that has been provided by the Congress, I think it's fair to say that what we have is a down payment on the need for broadband expansion, but not a balloon payment. In other words, there are going to be literally thousands of good applications out there that may not get resources and may not get funded, which is not to say they're not good projects. And it just gives us an indication of how great the demand is and how we have to continue to figure out ways to provide resources to communities over the next several years to connect them up to this infrastructure.
Secretary Vilsack emphasized there's large demand for broadband internet funding in rural America. Let's move from policies to prices now. The nation's largest hog producer believes the market has turned. Smithfield Foods President Larry Pope says there's growing evidence that the worst is over for the U.S. pork industry.
We have seen the tightening of supplies to our plants. You've all seen a run-up in the live hog market of recent. Yes, and our people believe that the hog markets are turning.
In fact, Pope is forecasting a profitable 2010 for hog producers.
But I don't think it's going to be anywhere near historical levels. We've still got $4 corn out there. We're still going to have raising costs somewhere in the high 40s to very low 50s, depending on your cost structure. And so the futures markets are indicating that the markets next year are about $52. So that puts you $4 or $5 ahead profit in raising pigs for the industry. So I think it's going to be a year of profits, but I think it's going to be a year of what I'll call unsatisfactory profits.
Smithfield, which lost $167 million raising hogs in the second quarter of fiscal 2010, despite a 16% year-over-year decline in feed cost, has reduced its sow herd by 13% or 130,000 sows since February of 2008. Pope says the rest of the industry needs to do more.
Because productivity of this industry has been very good. So with the same sows, we're going to produce more meat, and we're producing heavier hogs, so that's producing more meat. I believe that there needs to be continued sow liquidation of 3%, 4%, 5% in this industry. And I'm not sure people are going to do it. I mean, everybody has to make their own individual decisions, and I'm not sure it's going to occur. I think there are people who can't get any more money from the bank, and they're going to have to do something as a result of that. So I think you'll see gradual, continued liquidation, and I think it will be another year as we work through this reductions that probably need to occur.
Right now, producers are losing about $18 a head. That compares to 33 cents a head December the 1st and 37 cents per head 1 year ago. Smithfield officials note the export markets for U.S. pork have improved and are above year-ago levels thus far in the third quarter. And finally today, two agricultural CEOs have made a top 15 list. Monsanto CEO Hugh Grant and Potash Corporation CEO William Doyle are among the top 15 in the Harvard Business Review's Top 50 CEOs ranking. Grant is placed at number 10, and Doyle is number 14. Number one is Apple's Steve Jobs. And that's a look at today's agricultural newscast. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, Commodity Week, other agricultural programming that you can listen to anytime you'd like. That's all at willag.org. Now, up next, we'll talk about one word. It's navigable.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Well, the Clean Water Restoration Act is being talked about within the U.S. EPA. That's the United States Environmental Protection Agency. The agency, as you'll hear from Paul Slagle, policy specialist at the American Farm Bureau Federation, would like to get rid of one key word.
There's an effort to get rid of the word navigable, one single word, in the Clean Water Act and replace it with all waters of the United States. That would have the effect of giving the federal government for the first time the ability to regulate and permit almost any water body and even bodies that only have water for a short time in the year. It would be a huge change in the law.
The effort to remove the word navigable from the Clean Water Act is being pushed following two court cases in which the Supreme Court said there are limits in which the federal government can regulate. Schlegel says dropping the word navigable from the Clean Water Act would be a game changer.
What it would do is it would potentially affect what's called prior converted croplands. Under existing regulation, those lands are exempt from Clean Water Act regulation. This legislation would take away that exemption. It also, as we say, would increase the ability for citizens to sue for activities that occur even on dry land. So it would make a wholesale change in the way the law operates.
The change would mean there would be more federal oversight. Farm Bureau has been working on the problem.
We've thankfully got a bipartisan group of people who've gone to the chairman on the House side and said, look, this has issues and problems, and I think we ought to slow down on it. So we're working with people like the National Association of Counties and National Home Builders, a wide spectrum of people who care about these activities, and we're educating members, we're educating staff as well, and that's the job we all have to do.
Paul Slagle is the policy specialist at the American Farm Bureau Federation. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Time to take a look at the agricultural energy markets as we do each and every Tuesday. Dan O'Brien, who's with K-State Extension, joins us this afternoon to take those markets up. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I am very well. You sent me a document earlier this week that has not been posted just yet and has some cleanup yet to be done on it, but will be on the K-State Extension website's AgEcon in the very near future. I found it of great interest because it takes a look at the differences in cash corn prices across the U.S. ethanol-producing regions. And my quick glean of the document tells me that there are some areas that it appears the ethanol plants have, quote, pulled up everybody and giving them a better cash price. I don't know whether a better basis, but a better cash price. But that's not always the case.
Right. In some of the most intensively developed areas, parts of Iowa, parts of Illinois, you have some larger large producing plants over there. we find that it seems, at least preliminarily, that the relative cash prices received for corn have increased since the start of the most intensive development period for ethanol. That'd be about mid-year 2006. It is interesting to see that whereas the prices in the Illinois, eastern Iowa area have moved higher on a relative basis, it seems that prices in some of the western Corn Belt areas where we reside haven't gone up quite so much. Prices have still been very good for corn producers, but you do see some lower prices that have come about here in western Kansas, parts of Nebraska, and parts of South Dakota.
Yeah, to what do you attribute that? And maybe you can give us a spatial range on those prices. I think in Illinois, Indiana, maybe 16 cents above, and you can give me what that trend was. And then in Kansas, it was a 37-cent loss. Is that right?
Well, yeah, when you look at we'll start with the western Kansas situation, where it seems that in October 2006, the relative cash price was about 25, 26 cents above the average across the ethanol-producing area. Here in December of this year, we're closer to 10 to 12 cents on the downside. When you look at Illinois, it looks like prices... Actually, the first prices we have out of the USDA are in October of 2007, but it looks like you started out about a nickel higher than the average, and then have moved up to as much as 20 to 30 cents above that. So, there may be, as an economist, you always have to give all the caveats. You know, there may be a whole number of factors affecting this,
right. So
but it does seem that the eastern Iowa, Illinois area has some pretty strong cash prices, and that does seem to correlate with the development of ethanol.
Yeah, so let me check this. So is it this is the average cash price across the region, and then you compare that to the spot bids at the ethanol plants? Is that right, or roughly speaking?
Well, we're being a little more general than that right now. If you went with the spot bids at the ethanol plants, you probably would see even more of a difference. This is really the generalized corn price, as you'd mentioned, with the idea that the whole price
structure,
structure regime in an area would be affected by the competitive forces within those regions, and as you look at ethanol being involved there, that does seem to have had some impact.
Yeah, so it's relatively easy to say in the state of Illinois, maybe in Indiana as well, where you have train shippers, you have an export market via the river,
sure,
and you have local production in many plants, and then there are enough hogs and cattle to take in some of the marketplace as well, that there's a whole lot of demand, and that adding another demand structure had brought that demand, shifted that demand curve, or as you bought ethanol plants on, it shifted the demand curve to the right. What happened in Kansas? Why would that not happen in Kansas? Why would there be a lower price there?
Well, we have about a dozen plants in Kansas, and probably of those, about a half to two-thirds of them are in the western part of the state. So we have had some ethanol development here in our part of the country, but not to the same degree not as intensively as parts of Iowa and not the volume that you've seen in Illinois. So I think we still have a very competitive corn market for purchasing corn for livestock feeding, but additional ethanol component just hasn't been.
We'll be back.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. November jobless rates in 12 Illinois metropolitan areas were higher this year compared to last year for the 30th straight month. Numbers released today by Illinois' Department of Employment Security show the Rockford area had the highest unemployment rate at 15.4%. Champaign-Urbana's was up to 8.6, up nearly 3.3 percentage points from a year ago. Danville's went up 3 points to 12.1%, while Decatur's was 12.6, up nearly 5 points from a year earlier. The lowest metropolitan jobless rate for November was 7.6% in the Bloomington Normal area. The rates were slightly lower in most metropolitan areas than they were in October. Department spokesman Greg Rivera cautions that comparing metro rates month to month can be misleading because of seasonal variations in work. More than 300 people were attending a hearing on a plan to move alleged terrorism suspects from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to a nearly empty prison in western Illinois. Governor Pat Quinn plans to sell the Thompson Correctional Center to the federal government. It will be used to house up to 100 Gitmo detainees and as a federal maximum security prison. State lawmakers scheduled the public hearing today at Sterling High School to give people a chance to talk about the plan. About 50 protesters gathered outside the red brick school building, and many said they fear Illinois could become a terrorist target. But supporters say economically struggling Northwest Illinois needs the thousands of jobs that the prison could generate. Governor Quinn, meanwhile, says he decided to spend his day remembering fallen Chicago firefighters and honoring veterans rather than listening to public testimony at the hearing in Sterling. Quinn says his top staff is at the hearing before the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. The governor says the Corrections Department director and head of Illinois State Police are at the hearing, and Quinn says he'll receive a full report. The Champaign Food Pantry has received three times the donations it expected as it seeks out backpacks filled with toiletries, hats, scarves, and other items for needy families. A volunteer says more than 300 backpacks have come in when the Daily Bread Pantry only expected to receive 100. Dolores DeFranco says they're now trying to get the word out to those in need. She says recipients will be taken care of on a first-come, first-preserved basis. The pantry is at New Covenant Fellowship at White and Randolph Streets in Champaign. I'm Jeff Bosser.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming joins us this afternoon. Hi, Don. How are you today?
Doing good.
Tell me about the weather forecast. Ugly for the next several days here in the Midwest.
Well, I tell you, it's going to be quite the storm. It's going to be a system that's going to drop tremendous amounts of snow, bring lots of wind, and we could probably use the B word for this storm for portions of South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, sections of Iowa, northeast Kansas. There is going to be 1-2 feet of snow maybe with this storm for those areas. On the eastern side of the low, there will be a lot of precipitation. In fact, rainfall amounts, and it'll come in the form of a little bit of everything on the east side of the storm. Rain, snow, sleet, some ice. Amounts are going to be 1 to 2 inches or more.
Yeah, it sounds like the mailman is just bringing everything, isn't it?
Yeah, this everything but the kitchen sink on this. There'll even be some strong thunderstorms in the southern plains. As the system comes together, it's quite the mix of three different air masses all coming together in the nation's midsection.
Now, how do you divide the whole place up? Who gets what?
Well, pretty much you can expect in terms of just precipitation, no matter if it's rain or snow, there's going to be 1 to 2 inches worth from the southern Mississippi Valley all the way up through the Midwest and Corn Belt and all of the Great Lakes, 1 to 2 inches. And that goes from North and South Dakota all the way to East Texas, from Michigan all the way down to Georgia, and all states in between.
And if you take a look around the globe, what other kind of weather forecast do we have that we might want to be watching?
Well, for anybody that's been keeping track of the news, they know that Europe has been cold and snowy, much like what we're about ready to see here in the U.S. If we were to go, though, south of the equator and take a look at South America, they lately have seen a little bit of an uptick in precipitation. They needed some moisture, and it looks like the chances for moisture in both Brazil and Argentina looks to be good.
Anything else we ought to discuss before I let you go for the day?
Well, be ready for a very stormy Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It'll be a white Christmas in many areas and a wet Christmas in others.
One more thing. If you look out into next week and the holiday there for the New Year's, do you see anything, another storm on the front, or are we going to be calmer as we head into 2010?
Well, we should be a little bit calmer as we get into the latter portion of the weekend and early next week, but towards the New Year, we may have another system.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. That is the CMR. It's a production of Illinois Public Media right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.